Alexander, we need to discuss what I think is probably the most pivotal article I've read in the Obamagate / Russiagate scandal. I think this article, for the most part, connects all the dots as to how this thing got underway, especially with the targeting and the setup of Michael Flynn and Carter Page. I think it reveals a lot about Stefan Halper as well. And there hasn't been much in the media, in the mainstream media, about who Stefan Halper is, but this article definitely shines a light on Stefan Halper. It also shines a light on a group called the Cambridge Four. Now, Alexander, before I hand it over to you, I want to say that this article is courtesy of reporting by Matt Taibbi, who's an excellent journalist, and it's an article written by Stephen P. Schrage, PhD, who worked under Halper in Cambridge. So he has the inside scoop as to what happened with the targeting of Michael Flynn, the kill shot, as they called it, to take out Michael Flynn, how they set up Carter Page, and everything that went on in the United Kingdom, in Cambridge. The main thread to this story, Alexander, is that the four people involved, the people that Schrage calls the Cambridge Four, were people who were either working at the university or associated with the university or just hanging out in and around the university at conferences, get-togethers, etc. The Cambridge Four are Stefan Halper, Christopher Steele, Richard Dearlove, and Christopher Andrew. Those are the Cambridge Four. These are the people that got Russiagate, what I call now Obamagate, underway. These are the people that took out Michael Flynn. These are the people that took out Carter Page. Alexander, Mr. Schrage also makes it a point to say that this article is not partisan. It's not about the left. It's not about the right. It's not about Democrat or Republican. He just wants to tell his story. He wants to tell the truth. He doesn't want to politicize everything. He makes it a point to say what he is writing in this article and the information that he's giving us is meant to avoid an October surprise from both sides. And he wants the truth out there. And I commend him for that. I commend Matt Taibbi for publishing this article. It's a long article. I also want to say to all our viewers that we will probably do multiple videos on just the information that we have here in front of us. Today, Alexander Mercuris, who is in the United Kingdom in London and really does know Cambridge very well. He knows the university system in the UK very well. He knows these four people and their history very well. Will take us into this story from the beginning. The Cambridge Four, the targeting of Michael Flynn, the takedown of Carter Page, all of this. The dots, Alexander, are now, in my opinion, connected.
Absolutely, and they're connecting in a most extraordinary way. Very briefly, Mr. Schrage was a pre-PhD. He was doing a doctoral thesis in Cambridge. Stefan Halper, who is the only person amongst that group of four that he identifies, who is American. All the other three are British. And that's very important, and we'll come to the implications of that in a moment. Stefan Halper was his PhD supervisor. That is to say, Mr. Schrage would be, you know, doing his research, putting it together, coming up with his ideas, doing his drafts, and that he'd be going to Stefan Halper, apparently finding it very difficult because Stefan Halper, he describes him as a volatile and rather, you know, shall we say, sometimes alcoholically minded person, not an easy person to have as a supervisor. But that is what he was. And in the British system, the relationship between the PhD supervisor and the student, the postgraduate student doing the postgraduate thesis, is extremely close. So they know each other very, very well. That's the first thing to say. And so he's somebody who knows Halper extremely well. The second is, and you have to go through this rather long article very carefully, but it's quite clear that he is being in touch with Durham. Durham has contacted him. There have been discussions between himself and John Durham. I'm not suggesting that he's providing information that John Durham has, or, you know, that he's leaking things. He's obviously not leaking things. He's coming out and writing openly about it. But he has already provided information to John Durham's investigation. The third thing is that, and now we're coming to the kind of things that he's discussing. These four people, Staffan Halper, Christopher Steele, Christopher Andrew, and Richard Dearlove, know each other and are all friends. Apparently, they're not just, you know, friends. They meet regularly. They talk things through. They come up with all kinds of ideas. And the clear impression I get from this article is that in relation to Russiagate or Obamagate, they were acting together as a team. Now, this is extremely important because for multiple reasons. Firstly, let's look at who these people are. Richard Dearlove is the former head of MI6. He is Sir Richard Dearlove, to give him his full name and title properly. He was the former head of MI6. He was heavily involved in organizing the intelligence for Tony Blair at the time of the Iraq War. He was one of the people who said, you know, there was WMD in Iraq, and he's also a very political animal. During the last two general elections, for example, he wrote articles in the newspapers saying that Jeremy Corbyn was a real and present danger to Britain. So he's a very political animal. Christopher Andrew also has very strong intelligence connections, British intelligence connections, and he is MI6's unofficial historian. So he will write, you know, articles and books about what MI6 gets up to, especially with respect to Russia. So he's its unofficial historian, as well as clearly being someone with an intelligence background himself. Christopher Steele, we've talked about at extraordinary length. He was the MI6 person at, who formerly ran, MI6's Russia operations. I don't think we need to say much more about him. Staffan Halper is the American in the group. His connections go all the way back to the 1970s. He was some kind of a secret agent then. He was involved with in all kinds of strange intrigues and conspiracies. But he's also been, for a long time, a U.S. intelligence asset. He's been a paid informer for the FBI. And remarkably and inexplicably, he was also paid, up to $500,000 by the Office of Net Assessment, which is one of the Pentagon's intelligence agencies. So we're looking at four people very much in the intelligence world, but three with very strong connections to British intelligence. One of them, Staffan Halper, has connections to US intelligence, and he's able to provide all the various contacts with US intelligence that the other three need. Now, go back to the story of Russiagate. If you remember, if those who have, you know, are able to take their mind back to the various shifting explanations the FBI has given about Russiagate, they have always insisted that Christopher Steele and his famous dossier were not the thing that caused Russiagate to happen. What caused Russiagate to happen was George Papadopoulos, junior Trump aide in London, meeting with Alexander Downer in a wine bar in Chelsea and telling Alexander Downer, this is the Australian High Commissioner, another person, by the way, with an intelligence connection and probably a British intelligence connection, telling Alexander Downer that he'd been told by this mysterious man, Joseph Mifsud, who supposedly is a Russian asset, that the Russians have emails of Clinton. And this was supposedly what started Russiagate going. Now, the important point to understand from all that's arisen here is that Staffan Halper was somebody else who was clearly baiting Papadopoulos. So Papadopoulos has a connection with Halper. Halper has a connection with Christopher Steele. It seems as if this distinction that the FBI is trying to draw between the Papadopoulos affair and the Steele dossier simply doesn't exist. And this article goes on to say that Halper actually was baiting Papadopoulos to get Papadopoulos and others, Carter Page, to admit to things that were in the Steele dossier. So that's the first thing. I just wanted to say that. There's another small detail I want to point out, which goes back to one of our earlier videos. This article says that Peter Strzok, famous FBI agent, we've talked a lot about him. He was in that famous, notorious Oval Office meeting between Obama, Biden, Sally Yates, and Comey, in which they all decide that they're going to do various things in relation to Michael Flynn. And it is Michael Flynn who is the centerpiece of all of this story and of all of this plotting, because it's quite clear that part of Russiagate, as almost as big an agenda within Russiagate as stopping Trump, was stopping Flynn. The fear was Flynn, as national security advisor, would come and clear out all the stables. He'd find out all the things that were wrong. He'd sack lots of people. In fact, there's direct references to the fact that messages are going backwards and forwards between this group of four and their contacts in Washington, that Flynn is going to have everybody sacked when he finds out what's really been going on. And it's quite clear from this article that it was this group of four in conspiracy with various people in the United States who affected the bringing down of Flynn. They were the people who leaked the stories to the media, either directly or through their friends in the Office of Net Assessment, with which Stephen Halper obviously was, from whom Stephen Halper was getting money. Or it could have been Halper himself. This person points out, this person who's written this article points out that the journalist David Ignatius, who leaked a lot of the information about Flynn, including a lot of the key information about Flynn and Flynn's contacts with the Russian ambassador, that this person was also a close friend of Stephen Halper's. So there was a plot involving all of these people to bring down Flynn, and Halper, in effect, came very close to admitting as much to the author of this article when he was bragging to this person shortly before Flynn was brought down, that Flynn was going to be brought down. And the author of this article was so stunned that he actually tape-recorded the entire conversation. So we have Stephen Halper on tape talking about the bringing down of Flynn. So this opens up huge possibilities. And as Alex rightly says, it joins up the dots. It shows that at the core of Russiagate, the way in which Russiagate is created, there is a group of four people, three of them British. One of them is out producing the dossier. That's Christopher Steele. One of them is insinuating ideas into the US intelligence community and also spying on people like Papadopoulos and Carter Page and indeed Flynn. And the other two play important roles, with Richard Dearlove being apparently a primary source for the FBI, corroborating the work of the others. So you see how it all seems to fall together. Now, there's more we don't know. We don't yet know the politics of this. There's no doubt that Christopher Steele was in contact with Hillary Clinton's campaign. We know all about that. So we don't yet know to what extent all of these four people were working for the Democrats or willfully working for the Democrats. I've no doubt they were, but there's a huge amount of work here, and I've only touched the surface.
Yeah, there is a lot to get to, and we're going to have to do a couple of videos to unpack everything. Yes. Alexander, there's two angles I want to tackle that that you brought up in this video. The first one is the one that you went over, which is Flynn. And let's get to that next, well, later. Let's do right now Carter Page.
Yes.
Now, Carter Page, he was brought to a conference by Schrage.
Yes, sir.
I'm pronouncing that right. So he was working for Halper in Cambridge, and Schrage organized this this conference to talk about geopolitics. And, you know, a lot of, you know, high rollers, distinguished people were going to be at this. It was an international academics conference, an all-star cast, headlined by presidential candidate then Hillary Clinton, confidant Madeleine Albright. And Halper didn't have any interest in Page whatsoever. He was going to invite Page, actually, let me preface it, to say that he was going to invite Page or someone from the Trump campaign to provide some balance. Because going through the article, he makes the point saying that he seemed to have had a lot of people on the Hillary Clinton side of things, and he wanted to bring some people to add some balance from the Trump campaign. And so in comes Carter Page. So he was going to bring Carter Page to attend this conference and be a speaker. Now, Halper didn't have any interest in Page whatsoever. Any interest at all. Actually, he kind of mocked Page. And he makes a point of saying that Halper mocked Page. And then Richard Dearlove flies in from Colorado. He was in the Rocky Mountains. Let me read you a passage here, Alexander. Sir Richard Dearlove is a former director of MI6 and Halper's longtime collaborator. He arrived at the last minute from a billionaire's Rocky Mountain soiree called the Allen Conference, whose other attendees reportedly included Oprah, Obama confidants, and Hollywood sexual predator Harvey Weinstein. Dearlove was under the cloud of an official UK investigation into the Iraq War rationale, called the Chilcot Report, that were serious even by the Warises. He's referring to Halper, they called him the Warris, or Weinstein's standards, given the geopolitical consequences. Among other things, it involved Dearlove's MI6 allegedly withholding the fact that a key piece of intelligence George W. Bush used to launch the attacks, the idea that chemical munitions were kept in glass beads or spheres, suspiciously mirrored an erroneous factoid from the plot of the 1996 WMD heist movie The Rock, starring Nicolas Cage, also starred Sean Connery. At my conference's last session, Dearlove went far off the script I had discussed with his assistant, lambasting Trump as a national security threat in front of a Trump advisor and our official guest, Page. My jaw hit the floor in embarrassment, but that and his discussion with Dearlove seemed to cause Halper to do a 180-degree shift. Suddenly, he seemed desperately interested in isolating, cornering, and ingratiating himself to Page and promoting himself to the Trump campaign. Alexander, what do you make of what I just read you? This is where Halper all of a sudden takes a very deep interest in Carter Page.
Well, clearly, I mean, he's been prompted to do it by Dearlove, and Dearlove has been told by someone in the Rocky, you know, in the United States to take an interest in Page. So, I'm not going to try and pronounce the author's name because I'm not quite sure what it is and I mispronounce it. But this person makes the
Schrage,
point.
I think it's Schrage.
Schrage. I think it's Schrage.
If we're not pronouncing it right, we apologize.
We apologize. Mr. Schrage makes the point that it's probably because Page, Carter Page, is at this conference that he suddenly, his name finds its way into the Steele dossier. So we get a situation where one part of the Cambridge Four, Richard Dearlove, is obviously bringing the messages from the United States. Another part, Stefan Halper, is obviously carrying out some kind of surveillance of Page. And a third part, Christopher Steele, is writing a dossier which is full of all kinds of allegations about Page, all of which have now been proved to be conclusively untrue. And of course, it also turns out, this is again in this article, that one of Halper's purposes was to try to get Page to make admissions which could seem to corroborate things in the dossier. So it looks like a setup. I mean, this is the author comes from the United States, Dear Love comes bearing it, and all the three of them get to work to try to involve poor Carter Page, whose life, just like that of George Papadopoulos, is turned upside down and inside out. I mean, he's put through relentless interrogations. He doesn't ever plead guilty to anything, which is just as well. But I mean, he's ridiculed in the media. His extraordinary stories are told about him. And he was a loyal citizen of the United States who had provided valuable information, as it turns out, to the CIA. So, I mean, you know, it's quite awful what happened. Also, but also very bizarre. And yet again, what we see is that all the various strands of Russiagate are connected to each other. Halper and Steele and Dearlove are all working together clearly as a team. Quite what the role of Christopher Andrew is, it's not entirely clear.
Well, he wrote, he mentions that he wrote an article providing cover for Halper, but that's about, I think, as far as he goes. We'll unpack that a little more.
We'll unpack that a little more, yeah.
But Andrew definitely was providing cover for Halper.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, let's go to Flynn.
He's also, by the way, very much the intellectual of the four. And that I can certainly, that I can say from knowledge. Carry
on. Right. And Ignatius, too, is actually providing cover in that name, obviously, from the Washington Post, I believe. Ignatius.
Yes.
He was also providing cover for Halper as well. So Halper had a lot of allies who he called upon to to clean up his name, because the guy has got an absolutely horrible checkered past as a spy. I mean, that guy's been working for every intel agency.
He's not a spy, as far as I'm concerned. He's an intriguer. I mean, that's how he comes across to me. He's somebody who engages in intrigues, which he passes off as spy stuff. But I mean, he doesn't really engage in spy craft as such. As I said, these are intrigues that he engages in.
And he gets paid very well for those intrigues. And we'll cover that in another video as well. He gets paid very well for those intrigues. Let's go to Flynn now. And Schrage has a title in the article with a headline called Flynn's Tag Team Takedown. Let me read you the first two paragraphs underneath that subheading. Perhaps nothing better illustrates the Cambridge Four's role, or is more urgent given Flynn's legal hearing August 11, than the takedown of Trump's national security advisor. Starting in 2016, Halper made odd requests for me to brief him and others on Trump's team. He even had me research Trump, allegedly as part of my thesis work, even though my thesis was focused on past, not present, presidents. In these discussions, I stressed that Flynn was indispensable. He was perhaps the only campaign advisor who both had Trump's personal trust and the deep intelligence experience necessary to expose hidden problems in the intelligence community. At one point, I even recall telling Halper that taking Flynn out would be like beheading Trump's team. Let me repeat that. I even recall telling Halper that taking Flynn out would be like beheading Trump's team. I had no idea I had been unintentionally aiding a spy, preparing the guillotine, and helping lead Flynn to exactly such a beheading. Now, further on in the article, Schrage explains how they had to take Flynn out because Flynn would have been the one that not only exposed what the Cambridge Four were up to, but could have exposed what Strzok, McCabe, Comey, maybe even all the way up to that White House meeting. Flynn could have exposed all of that. So they made Flynn a number one priority to target and to take out. And that's where that audio recording comes into play, where Halper somehow finds out that they are indeed going to take Flynn out. And according to Schrage, he explains Halper as relieved he wasn't stressed. He wasn't under duress that, you know, he could have been called out by Flynn and he could have been exposed by Flynn, but he was rather calm and peaceful, knowing that they were going to take that kill shot on Michael Flynn. Alexander, what do you make of what I read you?
Well, it shows that information is passing in both directions. So Halper is not just an informer, but he is somebody who is informed. In other words, people in Washington are telling him what is going to happen. And as I said, there's a very interesting fact that's come out of this article, that the author of the article believes that Peter Strzok was at that meeting in the Oval Office with Obama and Biden and Sally Yates and James Comey. We'd speculated that must be the case, but it looks as if information about that meeting was being passed down and must have reached people like Halper as well. I'm not specifically referring to this conversation that Halper had, but he was clearly very well informed about the plotting that was going on against Flynn. Now, the other thing is that Halper clearly was involved in some of the activities against Flynn. It turns out that Halper was instrumental in concocting this fantasy that Flynn had been seduced by this beautiful blonde Russian spy. We've discussed this on other programs. This is a Russian academic who comes to Cambridge, is writing books about the Soviet intelligence community activities of the 1930s. She's introduced to Flynn. The two exchange some emails, and out of that, a whole affair is spun, even though nothing like that ever happened. And it seems Halper was central to it. Now, that lady, by the way, has tried to bring legal cases against Halper. And I wonder whether they are still ongoing. But I would have thought this person who's written this article is now a witness. So let's keep an eye out on that, too. But clearly they were going after Flynn. And it is not surprising why. Trump, we've discussed this often, when he became president, he had no experience of public office. Most of the people that he was involved in with the Republican Party didn't like him and didn't trust him and didn't want him to become president. He still has problems with the official Republican establishment now. He knows some people in business and industry, people like Wilbur Ross and Steve Mnuchin and those sort of people, but he is desperately uninformed and lacking in knowledge about people in the foreign intelligence and security world. He depended on Michael Flynn. Michael Flynn fully had all that knowledge. He had been the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. He was a highly experienced intelligence officer. He knows his way around the Pentagon. He knows his way around the intelligence community. He has some knowledge, undoubtedly, of the State Department and its work. He was a person with all that kind of information. At the same time, Trump not only trusted Flynn, but Flynn was loyal to Trump and was determined to pursue Trump's agenda. So getting rid of Flynn was removing the keystone in the arch of the Trump foreign policy part of its the foreign policy part of the Trump administration. And we've seen the consequences. We've seen a Trump who's never been able to find anybody who will replace him. He's experimented with people like McMaster, disastrously with John Bolton. He's got Mike Pompeo do his bizarre things, but he's never been able to break the hold of the swamp on his execution of foreign policy. So he can't get the troops out of Syria. He can't get the troops out of Afghanistan. He struggled to pursue his policy of engagement with Russia. He has not had that loyal official by his side in Michael Flynn, who would be able to help him do those things, and who importantly would know where to look for all the secrets built up over Russiagate. He'd know whom to ask within the FBI, in the CIA. He would know how things get hidden, how they get secreted away. He'd be the person who'd be able to do the proper clear out of all of these agencies. So this is how important Flynn was in all of this. And it's absolutely the case. There's no doubt about it now. There was a conspiracy to bring Flynn down. Flynn was brought down after this extraordinary meeting in the Oval Office. And just to illustrate how important a person Flynn is in this picture, remember the day after that meeting with Obama, Yates, Comey, and probably Strzok and Biden in the Oval Office. The following day, the intelligence people meet Trump. They present to him what is James Comey presents to him, the dossier. Trump is, of course, openly skeptical. He's able to be openly skeptical because who is next to him? Who's standing next to him? Who is telling him that this intelligence assessment, community assessment, doesn't really stack up and doesn't make any kind of sense? Who's telling him that the dossier is a load of nonsense? Michael Flynn. Michael Flynn was in that meeting with Trump and the intelligence officials. So there's a plot to get rid of him because Michael Flynn is the central person. We have all the details of the plot now. We have all the details of the plotters. And all of the dots, as you rightly say, have now been joined.
All right, my final question, Alexander. I'm going to summarize how I'm looking at this, and I want you to unpack it and close out the video. The Cambridge Four targeted Carter Page, and it set a trajectory of all kinds of no good activities, unbecoming of the US intel agencies, of the UK intel agencies, of the Australian intel agencies, Downer, Halper, Dearlove, Strzok, McCabe, Comey, all of them, all of them. Brandon Clapper, I'm sure they're all involved in this, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this is the point. I mean, we still haven't got, what we haven't yet got is at the very heart of where, you know, who is these people that, you know, Dearlove is meeting in the United States. So,
right. Well, obviously, they were Clintonites. They were part of the Clinton machine by the names that I read at that Rocky Mountain retreat.
Self-evidently. I mean, you know, he refers specifically to Obama people being there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So somewhere along the line, Dearlove brings back the message from the U.S. to Cambridge. Target Page. This is going to be our guy to open up the surveillance on the Trump campaign. Take Trump out. Get Hillary into the White House. Game over. I'm saying it in a very simple manner. So the wheels start cranking.
Yes.
But lo and behold, Trump picks Michael Flynn to be his guy. And Michael Flynn is loyal to Trump. They can't get to him.
Correct.
So then the priority becomes, we need to take out Flynn. Why? Not only will it completely derail Trump's entire White House, but it'll save our butts. And I'm saying what they're saying. These guys are saying Flynn is going to blow this whole thing wide open. He's going to expose all of us, from McCabe to Comey to Strzok to Biden to Obama to Halper. Flynn had the goods and has the goods on all of them.
Correct.
And they all eventually one day, this is how I'm picturing it, one day made it to D.C., all of them. They made it to the Oval Office, a few of them, and someone in that Oval Office meeting said, Logan Act.
Exactly.
And that's how we're going to take out Flynn. Halper got word of it. Everyone was calm. Boom. Kill shot, Michael Flynn.
Well, exactly. And, of course, just to say, the person who Peter Strzok's notes say brought up the Logan Act was Joe Biden. I personally think the idea originated with Barack Obama because, as I said, it's an old law. Barack Obama is the great constitutional lawyer. He's more likely to know about something like that than Joe Biden is. But clearly, this is a setup. I mean, it's been obvious to me for a very, very long, almost from the, you know, I provided in previous videos discussion about articles I wrote way back in late 2017, in which I said it was quite obvious that Flynn had been set up. We now have the proof. And Flynn is the key to the whole puzzle. This is why, by the way, there is this intense resistance to have the charges against him dropped. Because if Flynn is cleared, formally cleared by the judicial system, then that opens up all kinds of ways of investigating all of these things that went on, which would be more difficult if he was simply pardoned.
It also explains why Obama personally contacted Judge Sullivan, or sent out the message.
Yeah, well, like I said, well, this is exactly the point. As I said, Flynn is clearly the person they're afraid of. They're even more afraid of Flynn in some respects than they are afraid of Trump. Flynn without Trump obviously is no danger to them, but Trump without Flynn is easier to control or manage. It's the combination, it's the team of Trump and Flynn that is so dangerous.
Okay, we'll leave it there, Alexander. We have a lot more of this story.
And can I just say, the impression I got from this article is that it's only the first in a series. Yeah. So, you know, there's obviously more coming. This person is exceptionally well informed. And that must actually, by the way, raise questions about what his exact role was. But that doesn't detract from what Alex says, that he's acted very commendably by coming forward and providing us with all this information.
Can I also just say, you know, guys, share this article, this video. I'll put a link to the article.
Yes.
Underneath the... Yes. In the description box underneath this video. Absolutely. Share this video. We've broken down certain parts of this article. We'll break down more.
Yes.
With the more information that we get, but yes. You know, it's all making sense now. It is all making sense.
All the pieces are falling into place.
And we called it, Alexander. We said, way in the beginning, ground zero for Russiagate, Obamagate is
Britain.
The UK.
Is Britain.
Is the UK. Absolutely. We said it, we called it. We did show after show talking about the UK and what was going on in the UK, and boom, the Cambridge Four, we have it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We have it there.
All right, we'll leave it there. Guys, if you like this video, subscribe, drop us a comment down below. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. We need your help. We are a small news channel, but as you see, we try our best to get you the right, relevant, factual information. And also go to the Durant Shop, pick up some merchandise. We have new magic mugs with country flags because we discussed the U.S. I have the U.S.
I also have the U.S. There you go. But I've also got Britain, too, because, of course, this is the other country. I'd say, by the way, Britain should... I hope Britain itself isn't going to be... in too hard a place. This is a group of rogue characters within the British establishment who are very connected with the Hillary Clinton people.
Trump did meet with Theresa May when all of this was going on. I'm sure he discussed this stuff.
Of course he did.
Anyway, I'm sure he's discussed this with Boris Johnson.
Absolutely, of course he has. So, but if you don't find your own country with flag of your own country, well, persevere. Keep an eye out. It's probably coming because Alex is adding lots of magic mugs. And we've got some which are enameled also, by the way. And we're also probably will produce a magic mug with your country's flag. But if we don't, you're welcome to drop us a line. And you'll also find lots of our amazing shirts. There's a whole new line of shirts out there, including we're getting embroidered shirts soon. And we've got hats, hoodies and stickers and ebooks, more and more of those. But I come back to what Alex says. We are a very hardworking, small channel. We have to work very hard to produce what we do for you. And we depend on your support for us so that we can do it. So if you come to our shop and buy our products, you're obviously buying yourself really great products, but you're also supporting the Durand.
All right. Alexander Redcurse, editor-in-chief of the Durand. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.